This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Let me grab a call in the meantime. We've got Steve, who's in Malvern. Steve, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I was listening to you talk about how uncomfortable Kamala is when she's not scripted and everything like that. The nervous laughter or the grin and all that. And I think the Trump campaign's missing an opportunity to put that into a commercial and say, how will this play out in a face-to-face unscripted a confrontation or meeting with Vladimir Putin or Xi or some Arab potentate or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to back them down. This is going to get them to toe the line. I don't think so.
It's a valid point, and actually a really good point. Could you imagine, Steve, what it would be like behind closed doors with Kamala Harris and a few of her most closest confidants, whatever her cabinet would hypothetically look like? And could you imagine those conversations in person between some of these true global dictators and how they would be feeling like they're dealing in a position or from a position of power? It would be incredible. But I got to tell you, you talk about the ads, and there are certainly, I think the Trump campaign, the ads, they've been pretty good. But I think whether you're Democrat or Republican, and this happens every election cycle, whether it's midterms or for general elections, by the time September 24th comes, aren't we all sick of political ads?
Oh, 100%.
So, like, I see them, and I just roll my eyes, or I get up, and, if it's like a football Saturday or Sunday, I go up and get another something to drink or whatever, go out to the kitchen, go to the bathroom. I just don't want to hear them. Our station profits off of them. So, like, they're super important. But I just don't want to hear them anymore because I already know all the talking points. And I know my wife doesn't want to hear them at all ever. So I don't know if the Trump ad or even the Harris ad at this point really matters that much. I think what you just mentioned with the grocery store far more impactful than any ad they can come up with.
The problem with this, and we see it in this state, in this city all the time, because we're such, we are the most important state, in the election, is that there's so many of them that I think, you almost risk turning people off, with so many ads, even if, like, you support candidate X or candidate Y, you're like, okay, enough.
Yep.
Like, I just don't want to hear this anymore. And people just get so sick and tired of it that you almost wonder if, like, sometimes these political ads do more harm than good.
Or you just have to have maybe that moment where you have to maybe recalibrate and then, reallocate your assets. I mean, we saw Harris now, I believe, has a $500 million advantage financially in campaign money built up for whatever they decide to use it on, commercials or whatever. So if you're operating, at a 5-to-1 deficit, I would take some of that money and I would do a grocery store tour. We could, when we're done at 10 o'clock, we should workshop that and we'll send over a PowerPoint to the Trump campaign. Let's go. And not just rural grocery stores. Go into the city.
Yep.
Go into the city of Philadelphia.
Yep.
North Carolina, go into the city of Charlotte.
Yep.
Georgia, go into the city of Atlanta. And just do a urban grocery store tour.
Yep.
You want to win some votes over that way.
Agreed.
There you go.
Agreed.
855-839-1210.
You're hitting people where it matters. You know
yes, because
I mean?
So. We're not feeling it any more than we are at the grocery store, because most of us grocery shopping at least once a week, or if you're Dawn and her kids, they go grocery shopping every 3 days because their boys are eating her out of the house. Unbelievable.
So true.
We'll get to the big three here in 1 second. Let me grab this last call. Bill's in Montgomery County. Bill, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, Dawn, and Greg. Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, we have not seen any of these pro-Palestinian protests, you know, since the summer. And remember, that was the big rage, you know, before the summer, and, you know, whether on college campuses or on the streets. And now there's nothing going on. And this almost sounds like a conspiracy theory, but it's almost like they've been told to cool it, you know, to not embarrass Kamala, that it would really, you know, help her out if things could stay quiet.
Interesting. Interesting point and observation. I partially agree with that. We're not seeing them, at least not reported, on college campuses. So I don't know if the universities have really clamped down on that. But there was just a big one over the weekend where there was a guy walking around trying to imitate Trump, much less, like, not even remotely as good as Sean Farish does. And he was, like, antagonizing these pro-Palestinian protesters. I forget which city it was in. But you're still seeing the Middle East protesters out there. I'm just not seeing them on campuses like you're talking about.
It is
okay, interesting. All right, because yeah. I haven't seen anything on the news at all.
It is
now, maybe
right.
I haven't been watching the right news. But yep.
It is interesting that you don't see it because, you know, college is back in full force. So
back for over a month.
It is interesting that we don't see that like we did at the end of the school year last year.
Right.
Or this year, but you know, last school year.
I'd be wrong then, because I said this back in May and June when colleges broke for the summer. I said, if you think this thing's not going to go away in the fall, you're crazy, and maybe it has.
It kind of did, and, you know, I know there were protests outside the DNC in August, but it wasn't exactly what they were expecting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an interesting point. You don't see a lot of that happening now, and it's not like the war has ended or you know,
let's see if it picks up after the U.S. just sent more troops over to the Middle East. Let's see if that changes here in the next 6 weeks.
I get what you're saying. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like – it's like, you know, we say this – you know, we said this when it happened. It is – it's like the TikTok phenomenon. It was really big in May and June or April and May of last school year, you know, 6 months ago or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've moved on to something else.
Yeah, well, that's how we are as a society.
Yes.
We take our outrage onto the next subject.
Yep.
855-839-1210. If you want to jump in with more of your calls right now, time for a Dawn Stensland Big Three at 9.
It's the Big Three at 9 on Kale and Company.
Sponsored by Budget Blinds. So striking Aramark employees at all three South Philadelphia stadiums. They say they're on strike amid these contract negotiations that have gone sour. And so this affects the delivery of food and drinks to the stadiums. That has definitely been impacted, according to the union. So they have union workers out there wearing their placards, "Don't patronize Aramark." As they're saying, go to the game, especially with our Phillies clinching the NL East division title last night and hoping to get another win against the Cubs tonight so they can earn that bye week. So they're saying, hey, come early, tailgate, and bring your own food, your own drinks. Don't patronize them. Aramark releasing a statement saying that they've been fair. They've been trying to work with the union. But these are hundreds of unionized concessions workers employed at the Wells Fargo Center, Lincoln Financial Field, Citizens Bank Park. They went on strike, as we told you yesterday, and they are still negotiating for improved benefits and wages. That's what we're hearing. But they're saying don't tip the scabs wearing the and have the blown up, you know, rats,
yep,
the inflatables, but they don't want you to patronize anybody inside and don't tip them. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, don't pick your scabs, folks, because they lead to scars. Scars are permanent.
Oh, ouch.
My mom always told me that. Don't pick at your scab.
Tip.
I know. That's where my brain wanders off to.
Well, we have Philadelphia. This is big news. In Philadelphia, it's tough to get rid of those big items like refrigerators or the old TV big screen. So now the Sherrell Parker administration announcing something new, And this is a new residential bulk collection program that will make the disposal of those large household items like a fridge or an old air conditioner or tires. So this is part of the new plan to make sure that people don't illegally dump this stuff, because often that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. So, I've seen people doing that too.
It's the
worst. Tossing out like an old couch or, you know, all these immovable objects in your house that you have no more use for. You just toss them in like the woods or, you know, God forbid, like a river. It's just, yeah. It's,
or somebody's street.
Yeah.
They make it so damn, like, you actually have to pay. Companies come up, you have to pay them to take some of the stuff away because trash collectors don't take them.
Yeah, when did trash collectors become so finicky?
Well, look, every year around Christmas time.
I tip my garbage bin.
We, you know.
Got a tip.
We hang, my wife is out there, we're handing out. Like Trump, we're handed out hundreds. They're like, all right, everybody, and they will take anything we leave out there. Then I love it.
So what do you do? Does she like tape a 20 spot to the can or something?
No, when they come, she runs out there and
with the envelope,
gives them cash, and they you know, because of that, they remember us all year.
Yeah,
and whatever crap we leave at the curb, they take.
Yeah,
probably shouldn't announce this.
Well, there you go.
So in Philadelphia,
I mean, I've heard they do that.
Yeah. Reportedly.
I don't know if they do that or not.
So in Philadelphia, it's that you call ahead. They're going to have a program, you know, and they're just rolling this out. But you're going to call ahead, and that way it'll be a special truck, because you don't want the trucks getting, you know, too filled up on the regular trash day. So air conditioners, water heaters, microwave ovens, household furniture, large toys, flat screen TVs, empty refrigerators, tires. All of that, you just call ahead, you make the appointment, let them know, and then schedule it ahead. They're still not going to do things like hazardous, you know, old paint, hazardous materials, mattresses, but at least they're going to take these big items.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, to me as a Philadelphia resident, this is a great idea, because you see stuff. Somebody dumps it off on a city street.
Yep.
So we got that going for us, which is nice. Let's talk about obesity in America, a topic that especially during the pandemic and post-pandemic, we talked about the average 17 to 25 pounds that people gained. Well, the prevalence of obesity, according to the latest federal data, shows adults slightly decreasing in the United States of America, but still higher than it was a decade ago. So adults 20 and older, 40% are estimated to be obese.
Wow.
40%. That's down, because it was 41.9. It was almost 42%. So now we've gone down 1.9%.
Well, it's still bad. Just got to keep the groceries 25% higher than they used to be. We'll all lose weight, right?
They're saying that more than 100 million American adults, so about a third of the nation, you know, think about that, have severe obesity.
Yeah.
That's not even like mild borderline.
Poison our body with all this garbage.
Let me ask you guys a question, though. What is the definition? I think the definition for obesity is a little, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's dated. Like, I should be like 165.
That's what I mean.
I would look like an AIDS patient if I was 165.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just not right. You don't need to say that, but it's true. Like,
yeah.
I think that are, you know, they're like, well, at 6'2", you should be 171. Like, I haven't been 171 since 11th grade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. So, and I wouldn't look healthy at 171. Yeah. 190 is about my good weight, you know, that's when I feel healthy.
But in this one, they're saying, when they say 100 million American adults, this is not even the kids, but 100 million American adults have obesity.
Yeah.
They're saying more than 15-ish pounds overweight. I think the bigger number is the 20 million adults that are over 45 pounds overweight. So I think you're right. To the 100 million, I think they should change those stats.
Yeah.
To say maybe 25 to 30 pounds overweight, because if you meet somebody, because muscle weighs three times of that of fat.
Sure.
So if somebody is more muscular, you're going to weigh more.
Right. So don't get discouraged, folks. If you start lifting weights and you're 7 pounds heavier and you're also doing cardio, to your point, Dawn, muscle triples the weight of fat.
Yeah. So you can't, you know, But the more concerning number, I think, is that 20 million adults that are 45 plus pounds overweight. That's the one to look at.
I think we have to be worried too about the soft chubby fat kids.
Well, stop.
I'm serious.
No, you're right.
I mean, there's
soft chubby fat looking children.
There's a lot of them now that I see, and I'm just like, God,
because of bad parenting.
Yes.
Here's a YouTube, your iPad and a Red Bull. Get lost.
Yep. It's sad to see. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, because you're putting them on a track for obesity the rest of their lives.
Yep.
Lives.
But as Trump said, though, some of this is overrated. You know, all of his buddies that were healthy, they're all gone. Trump's eating proper burgers.
You don't see an overweight 80-year-old though. You just don't.
I know we've played these video clips and these still shots of, you know, back in the day on a bus or a train, everyone dressed up and thin. But you talk, and Dawn, you saw it firsthand in Italy. You just go over to Europe, you got all these people walking around. They all look like fitness models, and we're all a bunch of schlubs.
Two things. In Europe, for example, and other parts of the world, they don't allow the chemicals or the processing that we allow in America, number one. That's why I think RFK Jr. resonates with saying that, you know, we're poisoning our food supply. But number two, to your point, everybody's walking, everybody's biking. Mm-hmm. I think that they should say, when they create these biking and walking lanes, that would be a better sell.
Yeah. Well, think about the lazy culture. I mean, you know, I get it. They have, you know, those other types of transportation over in Europe. I mean, I'm guessing they have like an Uber or a Lyft. But instead of walking six blocks, well, let's pay for an Uber. And now instead of walking to our car to walk to the restaurant to get carry out, we DoorDash it.
Yep.
The convenience factor in this country has just increased the accessibility to laziness.
It's true. You don't want to leave. You don't want to do anything.
There's no reason to leave your home anymore.
No.
Right?
That's true.
Well, here's an interesting little stat here in this new all the new statistics they're releasing. People between the ages of 40 to 59 years old in America, 46.5% are obese.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your largest group, which is not, you know, not older than that, not younger than that. 40 to 59, that is the most obese group of adults, 40 to 59. That one surprises me.
And
because these are active people.
Sure.
And of them, women tend to suffer this more than men.
No, it's a side effect of Trump derangement syndrome as well.
Eating the chips for stress.
They're eating the chips.
Is that it? I don't know. I think it is interesting, but at least we went down a little bit. Maybe Ozempic.
Hmm.
I guess, but that's such the. I mean, I'm not going to say it's like a cowardly way out. Some people, that's all you can do because you've tried everything else. It's just, it seems like too good to be true. Like, we're going to do studies 10 years from now on people that took Ozempic that ended up being diagnosed with X, Y, and Z, and it's, you know, the quick fix. But the quick fix usually doesn't last, right?
Well, I will say this, that now Congress wants to interview their CEO because these companies, one of them, I was reading this, their profits within since they've come out with Ozempic are more of that over than 30 years they've spent on research.
Mm-hmm.
The profits with these companies are huge. And now Congress is getting involved. I don't know how you feel about this because the private sector issue, but Congress is saying, how can you charge so much for people if their insurance company doesn't pay for it when it's life-saving? So to your point, Nick, I would say this, that if somebody's more than 40 pounds overweight, that's so hard to lose as an adult. It could be argued that the risk-reward is such that it's going to save their life.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to die by the time they're 65 of all of these diseases because that amount of weight, it's like, I mean, kudos to anybody who loses that much.
It is much harder once you get into your 30s and 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
Yep, no doubt.
So let's talk about our Budget Blinds. Our sponsor, Ready for Fall, Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shade, shutters, custom drapery, motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation. The only no-questions-asked warranty in the entire business. When you schedule your consultation, you want to ask about their special radio offer. You can ask the Stocker family.
Thank you, yes.
Budget blind. Yeah, you love your budget blinds.
I love my budget blinds, baby. Come on, motorization.
Motorization.
Close them blinds.
Nosy neighbors.
Yeah.
Do what you want to do.
I can walk around my house. Walk around my house in my boxer shorts and not worry about it.
Woohoo!
That's a visual I need before a big corporate sales meeting coming up. My boss in his skivvies.
Too sexy for his budget blinds.
I'm joking. But I'm saying if that's your thing, if you want to do that, budget blinds is the best way to do that.
Could be Diddy's thing. Could be Mark
Robinson.
A lot of people are in that.
We're bringing Diddy into budget blinds.
Oh, it's the big
nasty.
Thing.
Nasty.
It's wrong.
That's it for us.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Lebo with a great tweet. He says, speaking of the tour, do stores in Bethlehem, Allentown, Norristown, as well as the rural areas. Yep. Store Tour 24.
I'm telling you guys, this is the way to victory. This is the way to victory. I'm,
the political consultant.
Yeah, right. I just, and 98% always correct.
Who's more accurate, you, Alan Lickman, or the cookie store in Cincinnati?
Cookies for Trump.
That clip of him paying that woman's groceries is just it's so impactful. It just is.
Yes. Scott's ripping me on Twitter.
Scott.
He says, in her defense, in regards to Sherrall Parker, she's a moderate. We could be stuck with progressive Helen Gim. Parker did the right thing bringing all city employees back to work and on the job.
She did.
I agree with that. I guess he's referring to my rant about her silence as to what happened this weekend in the city with the filming of Joker 2 with the cars on fire and everything else.
At 9:40, I'm going to play a report about that and about the injuries that were sustained and the damage.
Yeah.
NBC 10 did a really good breakdown of that. I'll play that coming up in like 20 minutes.
All right, there you go. Cut Sheet Part 2 on the way. We will get to voicemails. We will get to Today in Music History. And then I want to give you this last story of the day with the now fired COVID czar of New York City. Where do you hear these details? We'll get to that coming up shortly.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Let me get to this COVID story. I'm having flashbacks to 2021 when I read this last night. You guys have just got to listen to these details. By the way, I love all these people that are in charge of things and they're labeled a czar, like Kamala Harris was dubbed the border czar, yet she was, recently on Pluto and Neptune more frequently than actually going to the southern border. But New York City's ex-COVID czar has now officially been fired from his job after he admitted to having drug-fueled sex parties during the peak of the pandemic. This story from the New York Post. The city's ex-COVID czar got the boot from his job at a pharmaceutical firm yesterday, a week after he was caught on film bragging about hosting sex parties and attending an underground rave at the height of the pandemic. Dr. Jay Varma was serving as a senior health advisor to then-Mayor Bill de Blasio during COVID-19 when he and his wife would put on the sex and drug-fueled debauchery and attend a packed Wall Street rave, according to secretly recorded conversations that the doctor had with a woman On September 23rd of 2024, the board of directors of Cigna Technologies officially terminated Dr. J. Varna was a critic, Varna critic and city councilman Bob Holden said in a blistering statement, Dr. J. Varna's firing is a step in the right direction, but the consequences of his actions are long overdue. Varna boasted about harassing people into submission over the vaccine mandate and admitted to participating in illegal sex parties, all while he, former health commissioner Dr. David Chosky, and then Bill de Blasio imposed draconian measures that shut down the entire city. The hypocrisy is outrageous. Varna's seamy chats, which included him boasting, saying, quote, I did all of this deviant, like, sexual stuff, and I kind of had to be sneaky about it because I was running the entire COVID response for the city. And I'm thinking back to two specific moments that made me really think that this whole thing just stunk to high hell. One, if you'll recall, in Los Angeles, this I think was 2020 or maybe into 2021, when Governor Gavin Newsom was seen at a ritzy L.A. restaurant with Magic Johnson and all these Hollywood elites.
French Laundry.
Yes. Eating dinner and doing all this stuff. No masks, no social distancing.
Yeah.
By the way, if masks are so good and Magic Johnson is immune compromised, shouldn't Magic Johnson have had a mask on? Right?
Yeah, Magic Johnson being immune compromised.
Mr. I've got AIDS, the whole bit.
Well, he never had AIDS.
He had HIV, yeah.
He was HIV positive. But
I would think he would not want to get COVID if his system's a little out of whack.
And you would think, too, that as we know how COVID spreads, especially in that time period, sex parties probably not the best thing to do if you want to stay safe.
No. Just in line with all of these sexual deviants that are out there doing all this ridiculous stuff. You know, we got the Diddy story out there. Yeah. And then I also have the flashback when we talk about masks and distancing. And I'm watching, I'll never forget when Fauci threw that curveball that landed 40 feet right of the home plate with the catcher at the Nationals game. And then Fauci's sitting there. Remember when the stadiums were empty?
Yep.
And then they started doing like 20% capacity, but you had to be like six seats away from the next fan. And there's Fauci with the mask down on his chin, like a football chin strap on a helmet. And he's got two people to his left, one person to the right. Nobody's socially distanced. Nobody's wearing a mask. And they're sitting there enjoying a ball game. Well, I got to watch it on TV with people that are piped in with computers and Zoom broadcast the game from their house. Complete hypocrisy. COVID czar.
By the way, Nick Hale, Paul writes to us, well, actually you, and apparently he's not happy with us making fun of DeSantis saying duty.
Yes. You want to read it or should I?
Well, I can read it so you can kind of distance yourself from this if you want to. I take the bullets here. That's how we roll. He says, I must be missing something. Well, you and the conservative counterpart of Jessica Tarlov were lasting. I guess that's me. First of all, Jessica Tarlov is the Democrat. I'm not a Democrat. Mm-hmm. I hate the Democrats equally as much as I hate the Republicans. So I'm an equal opportunity hater for both parties. So because we were laughing hysterically at DeSantis pronouncing duty, which sounded nothing out of the ordinary to me. I was being impressed by the content of his statement, ankle deep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Duty, duty, duty. Duty, duty, duty. Duty, duty, duty.
Well, let's start with his first sentence of I must be missing something. Yes, you missed the fact that we do occasionally like to have a little bit of fun here in Morning Drive and lighten up all the, you know, the serious conversations that we delve into 95% of the time. But, 5% of the time we do try to have some fun here on a morning radio show.
Oh, God, the people, they're just sticks in the mud. Yeah. You know, the content of what you... Shut up! Well, you don't listen! You know, like we say, don't listen!
Well, here's what we'll do. We'll just take the now no longer available on this station Mark Levin show. We'll pop him in a morning drive. We'll get 20% of the audience. And then Paul Daniels will be happy. Simple solution.
So
and then you can save money and not pay me.
I can't with, like, if you're a male, hey, even a female, and you don't laugh at duty, like, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Maybe we didn't grow up in the same generation.
Yeah. He says, I was impressed by the content of his statement, which I am always impressed
with
DeSantis's thoughtful opinions, but it still doesn't replace the fact that he's a bizarre individual and the way he says things sometimes are funny.
Can we just, if you go back to 6:15 this morning, you played that clip.
In the big take.
In the big take and made a serious commentary about it.
Yes.
It was just, it was a joke in the 7 o'clock hour about how he kept saying,
duty, duty, duty.
Duty. No more fun, folks. We've got an anti-fun mandate.
Man.
That's right.
Laugh at yourself, people. Life is not that complicated, man.
Yeah. I'm not even going to get bothered by it because we've got a sales meeting coming up and I've got to be in a good frame of mind and I don't want to go in there all sweaty. All right, 9:36. Let's get to a Tuesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2.
What's on the Cut Sheet
Part 2? Grandma Dean calls us Beavis and Butthead.
Well, I'm definitely Butthead.
Duty, duty, duty.
I wonder if my big take was serious enough for him.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just rant and rave all show long. I'll just be a serious gas bag. You know what we'll do?
Uh-oh.
Let's get Gordon Chang on tomorrow so we can make the show very serious.
Don't do that. Don't
make Paul very happy.
Don't do that.
Of course 90% of my audience will tune out, but
don't do that, please. All right. Can we start here with Cut 14? This is James Carville. He was on last night with his wife, Mary Matlin, CNN. Who's a Republican, by the way, conservative, I think. I think she still is. I don't know. An odd-looking couple, by the way. If you're on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, you can see that just the oddness of these two. He says, and look, he's a smart guy. I know a lot of people disagree with him, but, you know, he helped elect Bill Clinton in 92. He says that the election doesn't feel like a race that Harris is going to lose.
Wow.
Just one man's opinion.
Okay.
Cut 14, Philip. Go.
Look at just the last couple of months. You have, you know, Donald Trump talking about Haitians eating cats and dogs. You know, his candidate in North Carolina, you know, revealed as talking about himself as a black Nazi on a porn site. He brought a 9/11 conspiracy theorist to 9/11 memorial ceremonies. Why do you think it's this close?
Do I think it is?
Yeah.
I think it's more than close. Of course it's close. You just said it was close.
But it's close in the polling. I'm not convinced that it's going to be close on election day. I'll say this. If there's 7 swing states, the most likely scenario is it breaks 4-3. It always gets, and again, every race other than maybe 2008 has been close right up to election day.
Mm.
And I could be wrong, but it's going to break in one direction or the other. I really believe that. And most of the time, these elections do that. And I don't like to predict elections. I would just say this just doesn't feel like a race that Harris is going to lose. But that's just a feeling. That's just a feeling.
All right. I mean, if he says he feels like Harris is going to win, I've got no problem with that. But we went through yesterday, Harry Enten, with the polling, if it's off one point in either way, what it would look like under the presumption of a landslide. One of them was Harris 319 to 219. The other was Trump like 312 to 226 or something like that. And I said this yesterday, so I'm going to stay consistent with that. I don't think either one is going to get to 300 in the Electoral College.
No, I disagree.
You do?
I do.
Okay, so you think with the swing states, it'll pretty much be all or nothing for one of the two.
I think that it's going to be close, but I think that it's that there's definitely going to be somebody passing the 300 threshold.
Okay. Well, you've got history on your side because in 16, Trump took the 7 swing states, got to 304, I think. And then in 2020, Biden won 6 of the 7 swing states. The only one that Trump won a second time was North Carolina. So history is on your side the last two elections. I just think when you look at this razor-thin polling, and the fact that it's, I actually think that double hater is back in play, where I think a lot of people maybe thought it would go away with the freshness of Kamala. I could see 4-3, and I could see it being, you know, 276, 262.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Not ready to give a prediction yet. I just, I don't, I, I don't think – I think Carville is correct in some of the stuff he's saying, that he does – that it's going to be razor thin up until Election Day, because it always is. But the results, I think, are going to be different.
Okay.
That's all. That's all. That's the only thing I'm going to tip from my hand right now.
Okay.
We mentioned this earlier. Dawn's been mentioning it a lot in her news. We started the show with it yesterday about the that car meetup yesterday in Philadelphia.
Yep.
Where people were jumping on cop cars and everything. NBC 10 had a pretty thorough report on this about the vehicles that were damaged and officers that were assaulted during an illegal car meetup that happened late Sunday night in Philadelphia. This is cut 13, Phil, go.
For those that were involved in it should be very well aware, we have your picture. We're coming for you. If you think you got away last night, you didn't.
Jeez, look at this.
Another weekend of illegal car meetups causing what Philadelphia police describe as chaos across the city. At least three people, including one juvenile, are under arrest as investigators try to get control of this situation. Thanks for being with us for NBC 10 News at 6. I'm Rosemary Connors. Philadelphia police tell us they believe last night's events were in retaliation to the steps the city is taking to crack down on these potentially dangerous car meetups. NBC 10's Brian Sheehan joins us now with more on the extent of the damage to police property as the search for the drivers involved continues. Brian, fill us in.
Well, Rosemary, Philadelphia police say five of their vehicles were damaged and officers were attacked as they tried to break up these illegal meetups that have been causing problems, wreaking havoc in our city. You can see the skid marks here just outside City Hall. We're across from the Ritz-Carlton, but take a look what it looked like while this was happening overnight.
Look at the ring of fire.
As it was happening, those involved actually lit a ring of fire in the middle of the road as they blocked traffic. Investigators tell us this was just one of 11 total incidents involving illegal street racing last night from Busselton Avenue in the northeast all the way to Bartram Gardens in southwest. Six of those incidents, they say, were violent and included flamethrowers, setting off fireworks, and starting fires in trash cans. Philadelphia police held a rare Sunday afternoon press conference to talk about all the mayhem officers and residents endured last night. Police have been cracking down on the meetups using intel they gather to try to prevent them before they happen, and they think that has something to do with what we saw overnight.
Wow.
So I think my big takeaway is the fact that in the beginning they say that they believe that this is in retaliation to the official first wave of crackdowns mm-hmm. against this. So obviously they haven't sent a strong enough message as a city, whether it's the mayor's office, the police department, you know, the district attorney's office. What Dawn reported earlier, like $2,000 fines and things like that.
Yep.
Obviously that's not enough of a deterrent.
It's true.
Yeah. So we need stiffer penalties for these actions.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll do it. We'll come back. We'll get to your voicemails and then what occurred today in music history. By the way, if you don't know about the voicemails, it's a new feature we do every day to wrap things up right around 9:45, 9:50. Download the Odyssey app. Click listen live for 1210 WPHT right next to our logo. When you listen live, little microphone. You tap that, you speak, you tap it again, and boom, we play them.
Boom.
Very simple. Back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
1, 2, 3, 4. Ron DeSantis, governor.
Oh, no.
He's the boss of Florida. Wears lips inside his booties. Ron DeSantis does his duty. La di da da, Ron DeSantis does his duty.
Wow.
Oh, that's not right. Come on.
Mustard.
That's not right.
Oh, we just lost Paul. We got too
duty,
funny here.
Duty, duty, duty. Duty, duty, duty.
Did you go duty in the house? Outside, boy.
All right.
Wow.
Good morning, Carol and Company. This is Bill from Diamond Beach.
Hi, Bill.
Just want to comment about your topic today about gravy or sauce.
Boy, love
as
this
an
topic.
Italian, Reggie from South Philadelphia.
Yep.
We always called it gravy.
Regardless.
And the sauce would be cooking and there would be meat in it. And we've always called it gravy,
yep.
no matter what.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the point I made yesterday as a Metagon, as somebody that's not Italian. You call it gravy regardless. Yeah. I didn't think the meat or no meat was really an indicator as to what constitutes gravy, but well, there you go.
I gotta say, people love this subject.
Of course.
It's unbelievable.
Yes. We did a radio thing with Bruno years ago when we were doing sports, and we didn't use the word gravy because we couldn't come up with something that rhymes, so we did a taste testing challenge, and we called it Bruno and the Boss of the Sauce.
Oh, nice.
But Bruno did say it's gravy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Pretend Aussie.
Hey, Boz.
It's Tim Walz here. I'm in the men's room at every school in Minnesota. We're going to check on how to repair a boy's tampon machine. Let's see. These all seem to be in pretty good shape. As if they've never been used, but we'll keep checking. Go team.
Oh my god. I guess
that might be Ozzy's best one.
I guess that's in response to him.
Yeah, the unverifiable story that's out there.
Car yesterday.
Well, yeah, and the unverified stories of by the way, that tampon story that's out there that people keep reciting. For what it's worth, multiple news outlets have tried to confirm the authenticity of that, and there's no evidence of that. But yeah, run with whatever you want.
By the way, Chris Eppolito, gravy goes on turkey. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm in the mood for turkey.
Yeah.
We got to have turkey more than just once a year.
All right, should we do this day?
Yes, we should.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. History on Kale and Company.
Today, September 24th, we celebrate the birthday of Peter Salisbury, drummer for The Verve, who's now 53. Heavenly birthday shout-outs to Jerry Marsden of Jerry and the Pacemakers, as well as Linda McCartney. Singles include 1999 by Prince in 82, Jailhouse Rock by Elvis in 57, Tears of a Clown by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles in 1970, Hanging Long Enough by Phil Collins in 90, Out of Touch by Hall & Oates in 84, and Photograph by Ringo Starr in 1973. Albums include The Razor's Edge by AC/DC in 1990, The Long Run by The Eagles in 79, and Nevermind by Nirvana in 1991.
Wow.
Also in 2003, Gordon Lightfoot is inducted into the Canadian Songwriter Hall of Fame. In 77, the first National Elvis Presley Convention takes place in Nashville. You're welcome, Linda. In 83, Billy Joel is atop the singles chart with Tell Her About It.
Mm.
And in 2008, Zippo launches their iPhone app, allowing concertgoers to hold a virtual flame. But lastly, a birthday salute I actually did not include at the beginning. Jim Henson of the Muppets would have been 88 years old today.
Beautiful.
So a little rainbow connection is in order to close this thing out.
Beautiful.
For KO Company, I fill up.
Someday we'll find it.
Amen.
The rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Oh, bye.
There you go. Nice work.
Who on Twitter?
MAGA Man on Twitter. He says, why believe in polls because there's been no evidence to polls or that polls are correct or even done properly? I'm just curious. I don't know the answer. I'd like to hear from you about it either on the message or via the radio.
Yeah, Harry Enten said it best yesterday when we played you the clips. Polls are just tools.
Exactly.
They're not the actual results.
That's exactly it. And we report on it because it's out there. We're just giving you a snapshot of where the country is, or at least those 1,000 people that were sampled at the time.
Yep, and I acknowledge the good ones and the bad ones.
Yep.
We have poll diversity here on this show.
We do.
All right, that'll do it for us. Everybody have a great rest of your Tuesday. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show coming up shortly. We're back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.